Brothers-in-Law, a radio adaptation by Richard Waring of the television series, which was based on the original book by Henry Cecil, starring Richard Briers with Richard Waring and John Glyn Jones. Episode 8, Reasonable Doubt, featuring this week's special guests, Peter Jones and Sam Kidd.
Members of the jury, there are two things that I would... Oh, come on, she can't have left home yet. There are two things, gentlemen of the jury, I would like to ask of you just to... Oh, blast. Must have left. Trust a girl to be dead on time when I haven't finished preparing supper. Now, where's that recipe? Where's it go? Oh, here we are. Onions, yes, well, those dehydrated ones should be soaked by now. Minced beef, I had a tin of that. Where's it? Oh, yes, here we are. Here, now, mushrooms, they're in a little tin. Yes, here we are, yes. And what do you say? A pound of coarsely chopped tomatoes. Yeah, well, I reckon a good squeeze of this tube should do it. Yeah, that'll do it. Now, where was I? I've got to get this right. Members of the jury, the liberty of a human being lies in your hands. I ask you to look at the prisoner. Will you imprint on your hearts and minds that you are his final refuge of hope and freedom? The prosecution have made great play of the evidence of identification. I submit, however, that this entire case pivots on the spaghetti. You would boil over, wouldn't you? Oh, good grief. I better get rid of these tins.
I thought you were out.
Sorry, darling. You caught me on the hop with the spaghetti.
Really, Roger, how can you be caught on the hop with a tin opener?
This isn't tin, darling. I cooked it.
Spaghetti?
Certainly.
Not the sauce, too. I don't believe you.
Look in the kitchen and see if it's so.
Roger. Well, aren't you clever, darling?
Well, I thought I'd give the saucepans a treat. All they've ever seen is boiling water.
Just smell this sauce. I can never get tomatoes to puree like that.
Ah.
Darling, one of these days you're going to make someone a wonderful wife.
Well, it's a celebration. I couldn't just open a tin, could I?
Celebration?
Yes. Henry's coming too. I wanted to rub it in.
What?
I've only been in the bar 2 months and I've just landed my first jury case.
Darling!
Well, it's a dock brief, of course, but I still have to defend the chap before 12 good men and true.
What about the women?
Well, 12 good men and women and true.
Well, you will book me a seat and I'll bring Ruth and Sandra. What's he accused of?
It's a theft charge. I'll know the details when I see him tomorrow. Get yourself a drink, will you, darling?
Oh, thanks. Roger?
Hmm?
I've often wondered, suppose when you talk to him tomorrow you find out he's done it, he's guilty.
Well, of course, if he admits it.
No, I don't mean admits it. He tells you he's not guilty, but you can see he is. You don't still defend him, do you?
He's my client. I mean, he tells me his side of the case.
Yes, but suppose all that's obviously a pack of lies. What then? I mean, if you still try and get him off knowing he's guilty, you're as bad as he is.
It's not quite like that. There are other considerations.
Well, I can't see what other considerations there can be. If the man's guilty, you, as a lawyer, should see he doesn't cheat justice.
Well, yes, but...
But what?
The trouble with you laymen is you always oversimplify everything.
All right, undersimplified. I've often wondered about this. Now, you're dead certain your client's guilty. What do you do?
Well, you see, it's a bit tricky. Oh.
You'll be saved by the bell.
Hello, Henry. Come in.
Something smells good. You've been slaving over a hot tin opener.
He cooked it himself, Henry.
Cooked it himself? No.
There, to celebrate my first jury case.
Let's see. Well, who's the catch of the season, then? Looks good enough to eat.
Is that a hint?
I'll lay the table, Roger, if you'll bring the spaghetti.
Right.
Anything I can do?
Well...
Good, I'll sit down, then.
Henry, I was asking Roger, if he thinks a man's guilty, does he still defend him?
Of course he does. What Roger thinks doesn't matter. There's a judge and jury trying the case. Good Lord, if the poor devils are only defended by barristers who believe in their innocence, the jails will be full and the law court's empty.
Don't answer your question, darling.
My question? You asked it.
Yes, I noticed you eavesdropping on the answer.
Well, it is his first jury case, Henry.
First offender too, I'd imagine, or the bloke wouldn't have picked Roger. You wait till you come up against a real old lag. You know that unless they actually confess to you, it's your job to do your best for them. Doesn't matter if you can see through their stories like a shop window, you still have to just drop a shutter. Seal off your nagging doubts, hermetically.
Drop a shutter?
Yes.
Oh, come on, darling, I'm starving.
Oh, yes, I am. Here we are.
You didn't know he could cook like this, did you, Henry?
No. That's why I've just dropped a shutter. What?
What for?
Well, it's rather like what we've just been discussing, isn't it? You believe he cooked all this, don't you, Sally?
Come on, we'll get coat.
Of course I believe it.
You'd take on his defense, then, against someone like me?
Like you?
I don't believe he cooked it. It's too good to be true.
But it won't be good if he
does. I think he opened a lot of tins and packets and bunged all the stuff together, but I only believe that. So I'd defend him, too.
Well, thanks.
But, may I see your waste bin, Roger?
No.
Ah, thank you. You see, Sal, if this sort of evidence came up, which is better than a confession, it practically amounts to witnessing the crime.
Henry, you're a rotten hound.
Well, I couldn't defend you, only plead for mitigation of sentence. Does that straighten you out, old man?
Well, Sally, no, I only said I cooked the spaghetti. You assumed the rest.
Well, I don't mind, darling. I was getting a bit worried, actually. All I can do in the kitchen is turn the egg timer.
Mind you, I don't think you'd need my plea of mitigation, Roger. Mm. Serve a plate of this to the jury while they were out. I think they'd ask for an acquittal.
Good morning, Mr.
Dursley. Oh, morning,
Eric. It's science here, sir. Mr. Wright. I put him in the pupil's room.
Oh, thanks. What sort of fellow is he?
Oh, he seems very nice, sir. And they gave him bail, didn't they? So I reckon you've got an easy acquittal there.
Splendid.
Ah, good morning, Mr. Thursby. Daniel Wright out on bail, which I hope you're going to make permanent. How do you do?
How do you do? Yes, well, do sit down. I'm afraid I haven't had time yet to familiarize myself with the indictment, so let's have a quick look at it now, shall we? Now, wait a minute, let me see, here we are. You're accused of stealing a wallet containing £3 and a wristed watch valued at £15.
Well, I've never done it, of course. It's a pack of lies from start to finish. We'll laugh them out of court.
Will we?
Well, you haven't read that load of rubbish or you'd be laughing too.
Well, Mr. Wright, I must say your confidence is very encouraging. This is my first jury case, you know.
Never.
Yes.
Well, we all have to start sometime. I remember the first job I pulled.
What?
Nervous as a kitten I was. That's probably why I got nicked.
You've been previously convicted?
Blimey, chum, I've had more days behind bars than you've had hot dinners.
Good Lord. I mean, I'm very sorry to hear it, but, well, previous convictions aren't going to help your case, you know.
Well, they never have, Cock. They ain't read out till you're convicted, you see, and you're going to get me off, aren't you?
Yes, oh, yes, of course. But the police didn't oppose bail, did they? That means they can't be too happy about the case against you.
Circumstantial evidence, that's all I got.
Yes, now, well, what is the evidence, actually?
About the watch and wallet.
Yes, now, what made them connect you with the crime?
They found the stuff on me.
On you? You mean at your home?
No, no. In me overcoat pocket.
But, look, if you're innocent, Mr. Wright, however did he get there?
Obvious. Planted. The thief heard there was going to be a checkup at the factory, knew my coat was in the locker room, slipped the stuff in my pocket.
But why your pocket?
Well, I'm an old lag, likeliest one to shift the blame onto. That's my record, you see, counted against me again, just as it always has with everyone. Except you, Mr. Thursby, eh?
Well,
look, is it likely? Take the wallet. If I had been after it, what would I have done?
What?
Have you got the wallet?
Yes.
Well, hand it over. Right. Now, if I'd nicked this, I'd have whipped my notes like this and stuffed them in my pocket like this. Pound notes don't tell no tales, do they? No, no, I never keep wallets, only the contents.
I see.
Here's your wallet. That's quite apart from the fact that I wouldn't have nicked it in the first place. And, here's your money. I mean, I've chosen to go straight, you see.
Yes, but look, you see, they still found the wallet on you, and if you... I appear to be a pound short.
Me? Oh, I'm sorry. The pocket lining's gone. The moment I leave you, I'm going straight round to my brother-in-law. He made this suit. Well, I mean, it's a disgrace, isn't it? Thank heavens you checked. But you see my point. The theft hasn't got my trademark. That's a good point to put to the jury, isn't it?
What? A good point? That you've committed so many thefts you've developed a recognizable style? A sort of Anagoni of the underworld? Frankly, Mr. Wright, I don't want you to misconstrue this, but I can't understand how you were allowed out on bail.
Oh, I can clear up that point easily.
Good.
I confessed. You... When they charged me, I said I'd done it. Yes, I told the sergeant.
Then... Why did you tell me you didn't do it?
Because I didn't do it. Is there a light in your eyes, Mr. Thursby?
What?
You closed them.
Yes, just briefly. I'm all right now. Go on.
Well,
Well, I confessed, you see, because the police sergeant sort of promised me that if I did, he wouldn't oppose bail.
But why should you risk years of imprisonment for a few days of bail? Why?
Claustrophobia, Mr. Hervey. Since a child, you see, I've had it. Morbid dislike of being in closed areas, such as a cell. I get spells of it. It was just unlucky that this sergeant came to chat me up just as I was having one of the spells.
So, to get bail, you made a false confession. Is that wrong?
Yes!
just correct me if I'm wrong. You've a long list of previous convictions.
Right.
All for theft.
Right.
You were arrested with two stolen articles in your pocket.
Right.
Then later, you admitted stealing them.
Correct. What do you think of my chances?
Mr. Wright, I'd like time to think about this for a bit.
Right. Now, you have a bit of a think-up. I'll go round to my brother-in-law's and get this lining fixed. As a matter of fact, he knows quite a bit himself about legal matters. Come back in an hour or so, shall I?
Yes, I suppose so. Yeah, at least an hour.
Leave you with it then, Mr. Thursby.
Right. Oh,
sorry, I didn't realize.
That's all right. I'm just going full of confidence, thanks to your make here.
Well, you went through your clients a bit sharpish, don't you, Roger? The police can't have much of a case against him.
The police have one of the most ironclad, steel-riveted, watertight, H-bomb-proof cases in all history.
Now, that's nothing to do with you. Just bring the shutter down.
Henry, I've closed my eyes altogether and he's still guilty.
I told you, you mustn't make that kind of judgment. What's he up for, anyway?
Stealing a couple of things that they found on him. Not only has he got a bad record, but to get bail, he confessed.
Did he? Well, now he only needs to cosh the usher and pick the judge's pocket, and the prosecution have the makings of a case.
You see? Let's face it, even your shutter sticks a bit on that
one. No, Roger. In spite of the appearances, he might be innocent, so it's still your job to do what you can for him.
Innocent?
Yes, well, you've got to give the poor blighter a run for his £2.04.
What? The thing that sticks in my throat is his record. There's so many things to swallow.
But you don't have to swallow, Roger. Just keep chewing till the jury retire.
Yes, you're quite right. Thanks, Henry. I think I've got the attitude now.
Penny dropped at last.
So's the shutter.
Good man.
It might be a very handy trick pocket when I'm doing a job, Albert, but when it starts trying to steal from me defense counsel...
All right, I'm cutting the pocket out, aren't I?
And you can cut these hooks in my sleeve out as well. I doubt if I'll be carrying a shiv or a jimmy for a few years.
What's come over you, Dan? That story I give you'd hold water anywhere.
It's so full of holes, it'd hold water underwater. That's the only place. I'm not being tried in the municipal baths.
Look. What's wrong with saying that the stuff was planted on you and you only confessed so that
Listen, Albert, I stood in the dock and picked the greenest-looking lawyer there. That story didn't even fool him. So what chance have I got with a judge and a jury?
All right. Now, how about this one, then? A mate of yours pinched the stuff, see? And you told him that crime don't pay. But he was too scared to put it back, so you was on your way to do it for him.
I can't go up to my bloke and say, how about this one? Maybe greedy, not indigestible.
Well, change him. Get shot of him. Get a different lawyer. Start again from scratch with a new story.
Get rid of him, he says. You know lawyers, Albert. Once they've had a whip of your £2.04, they hang on like leeches. All very well saying get rid of this one, but how do I get rid of him?
Just how young is he?
Looks about 14. Can't have been at it for more than a couple of months.
Well, he'll still be highly sensitive on the old, legal ethics.
What do you mean?
Come a little closer, Danny boy.
Hmm?
I'll tell you exactly what you must do. What you must do is...
Is it really so impossible, members of the jury, to visualize a man so longing for his liberty that he would make a confession even to win a few days of it? It was stupid. Yes. It was ill-advised. Yes. Yes, Alec.
Ah, that's fine, sir. I thought you were talking to someone there. Mr. Wright's here, sir.
Oh, thank you, Alec.
Morning, Mr. Thursby. Well, I'm sorry to have wasted your valuable time this morning.
Not at all, Mr. Wright, not at all. Now, I've been chewing things over ever since you left me, and, well, we're going to put up a real fight. We'll battle every inch of the way. I've even worked out a rather apt phrase to cover your previous convictions. I've got it written down here. Now, here, where is it? Now, what do you think of this? Temptations which life hath not fitted him to resist.
Very nice, Mr. Hervey.
Very pity you're not doing the case. What do you mean?
Well, let's face it, when I chatted you up this morning, you didn't believe it, did you?
Mr. Wright, I would not allow my suspicions to interfere with my conduct of your case.
My duty is not to my personal beliefs, but to my clients.
Even when your client done it?
You admit it?
I do, and now I've admitted it, you can't defend me, can you? I mean, it's against legal ethics, isn't it? So I'm withdrawing my instructions.
You're what?
I'm going to see another lawyer.
But Mr. Wright, wait, what about a plea of mitigation?
What?
Look, if you're guilty, you must plead guilty. And I can still act for you. I can try to get the judge to mitigate your sentence.
Mr. Thursby, you've got it wrong.
No, Mr. Wright, I'm sure we can say something that'll help, honestly. Now, what? I only have to say to the judge that you had devised a false story that could well have got you acquitted. Nevertheless, you decided
to... Did you
to
say truthful. Acquitted?
Yes, but you decided to plead guilty and accept...
You mean if I went and told him that yarn I told you, I might get off?
You very well might, but let's not...
Look, with that story, I could swing it.
I told you when you came in I'd work out a very promising defense.
You had? Right, then let's have a bash, Mr. Thursby.
I beg your pardon.
Let's give them that pike, eh? I mean, it seems a shame to waste that bit about, where's that piece of paper? Temptations which life had not prepared him
for. But I can't! Not now, it's quite impossible now.
Why?
You've admitted your guilt to me. I can't deceive the court.
You can't?
No, I can't!
Can I have another word with my brother-in-law?
Danny, I'm not surprised he wants you to plead guilty. But mitigation's no good to you, boy. You've got to get yourself a lawyer who'll fall for the story about your best friend stealing the stuff and you taking it back. That's a story that'll get you off.
You're not listening to me, Albert. Oh, this fella Thursby would have been quite happy working on the first story.
He would?
Well, he wouldn't have given it an Oscar, but he reckoned he could have got me off with it.
I thought you said he was green.
Well, he's a lot riper than he looks, I can tell you that.
So where's your worry? Look, stick to the first story, then. Keep the other one till the next time.
I can't. Now I admit it to him, I've done it.
Oh, blimey.
You were the one who told me to.
Because you told me he didn't believe the story.
Well, he didn't, but he would still have got me off.
So why let on to him that you done it?
Because I didn't know it didn't matter if he thought I'd done it till I told him I'd done it, and that's what done it. He could only do for me now if I hadn't done it, you understand?
He sounds a fly boy. You should let him do it.
How can I now? I've told him I'd done it.
Danny?
Yes?
Come closer. I'll tell you exactly what you do.
I put it to you, my lord, there are grounds for mitigation of sentence. It would have been so simple for this man to have committed perjury in an attempt to avoid his just deserts. But did he? No, he did not. He pleaded guilty, like a man. And I... Yes.
Funny, sir. I could have sworn I heard someone talking.
What is it, Alec?
Mr. Wright, here, sir.
Oh.
Well, I've seen my brother-in-law, Mr. Thursby, and I'm not guilty.
But an hour ago, you told me you were guilty.
Yes, but now I'm telling you I'm not.
You admitted your guilt sitting right there. You admitted it.
I've been lying, Mr. Thursby.
I know.
Well, I was lying when I said I was guilty. I'm innocent.
Then why did you say you were guilty?
Yes. Well, to tell the truth, Mr. Thursby...
The truth?
After our little talk, well, I thought you were a bit young for the job.
A bit young?
And I thought I'd like to make a change without hurting your feelings, so I just made out I was guilty. Well, now my brother-in-law thinks I was a mug to give you up. He thinks you're dead fly, Mr. Thursby, so I'll come back to say you can fight my case with a clear conscience.
Because you're innocent.
As the day is long, I wouldn't lie to you.
I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to believe. I mean,
no matter what you believe, you said so yourself. Your duty is to your client, your own words.
But you told me you were guilty.
And now I'm telling you I'm not. I don't see why you find it so much easier to believe me when I say I'm guilty than when I say I'm innocent.
Well, I just do. Mr. Wright, frankly, I'm not happy. I think I better have a word about this with Kendall Grimes.
He your brother-in-law?
No. Well, you could call him my brother lawyer, I suppose. Can I telephone you tomorrow?
I'll be at my brother-in-law's. Don't let me down, will you, Mr. Thursby? The only bright spot in this whole rotten mess is your shining faith in me.
Oh.
me come in?
Oh, it's awfully kind of you, Grimes. I've got terrible trouble with the doc brief. It must be unique. First the fellow denied his guilt, then he admitted it. Now he's denied it again.
I see. But what's your problem?
Well, first he denied it, then he admitted it, now he's denied it.
Well, he wouldn't be the first, would he, fella? Ah, before he's finished, he'll probably admit it again. Very contrary, some of them.
But what would you do if it were your case?
Oh, I wouldn't allow a clerk to play fast and loose with me. I'd hoof him out, my dear fella.
And that's what you advise me to do?
Certainly not. You're not me. You need the experience.
But good heavens, how many times can a client change his story before you've a duty to drop the case?
Ah, if you're sure he's lying, well, of course you must drop the case. But then how can you be sure? Unless you saw the crime. He told you he was innocent.
He also told me he was guilty.
Well, he changed his mind. It's his prerogative. It's why they chose a woman to hold the scales of justice. Anything else I can do for you, huh?
No, no, thank you, Grimes. You've made it much clearer.
Roger, if you defend that beastly thief, I shan't come to the court. Ruth and Sandra were coming, too, to make sure you had a good house. Well, they won't be there either. We should boycott a public gallery.
Sorry, please don't make things worse. I don't know what to do.
Well, she's guilty, so you must tell the judge.
She might be innocent.
After what you've just told me. No, Mr. Wright deserves the worst the court can give him. My goodness, there'd be none of this shilly-shallying if he was my client. I wouldn't have needed half a dozen confessions. One would have been quite enough for me the moment he
excuse
said...
me, Sally. Mr. Wright.
Hope I'm not intruding, Mr. Thursby. I went to see you at your office and you weren't around, so I took the liberty of tracking you down at home. Oh, you've company. I don't think I've had the pleasure.
Miss Mannering, Mr. Wright.
How do you do, Miss Mannering?
Hello.
Any friend of Mr. Thursby's is a friend of mine. And he's been a real friend to me, miss. I can't tell you. It's a rare thing to have anyone fighting for me. It's almost always against.
So what can I do for you, Mr. Wright?
I wonder if I might just sit for a second. I've been tramping the streets trying to find this address, and my old war wound isn't half playing me up.
Can I help you?
Very kind, miss. I can't hobble. Oh, that's better.
But Mr. Wright, you still haven't explained your call.
Nor I have. No, the pain drove it clear out of my mind. Well, it's this, and I want to be honest with you, sir. Absolutely honest. When we parted earlier, I had the feeling that you were regretting taking on the case. Probably something more classy had come up.
No, it hasn't, has it, Roger?
Go on, Mr. Wright. Well, if you do intend to drop me, sir, and there will be no hard feelings if you do, I'll understand. But if you're inclining that way, I'd just be grateful if you'd tell me tonight, as I'll need to tramp the streets a bit more and find myself now the lawyer. Oh, the pain.
Get up. Have a cup of coffee.
No, it's very kind of you, miss, but I can't stop. No, I've got to straighten up my affairs, you know, just in case things do go against me at the trial.
Oh, I'm sure they won't.
Not if Mr. Thursby's for me. No, miss, no, I agree. But with another man, well, he might not understand all those early temptations which life had not prepared me to resist. If you decide to act for me, sir, I won't let you down again. I'll stand there in the dock with my head held high and I'll send the words ringing round the courtroom. Not guilty. I should write that down, sir, before you forget it. Not guilty. Goodbye, miss.
Roger! How could you want to send him to prison? Just because of those early temptations which life hadn't...
I gave him that line.
Did you, darling? Then you meant to defend him all along? You do mean to defend him, don't you? Roger, if you don't, I shan't be there with Ruth and Sandra.
Look, please, just a minute. Give me a break, will you? Just a minute, darling. Hello. Oh, hello, Henry. What? Did I what? Your lighter? No. Where did you leave it? Oh, that's right. I saw it when Mr. Wright was... Right. Henry, I'll ring you back. That thieving liar, he's pierced Henry's lighter. Well, this is one temptation too many.
Just come across this lighter in my pocket. Could it be yours, Mr. Thursby? A little fag in your office must have taken it by mistake. Say sorry.
Now, members of the jury, possible to visualize a man so longing for his liberty that he would make a confession to win just a few days of it? It was ill-advised, yes. It was even stupid, yes. But was it, in fact, any more than one of those temptations which life had not prepared my client to resist?
Will you be going on much longer, Mr. Fairfield? This is the third time you've said all this to the jury. If they didn't follow it the first time, I think you can rely on them to have grasped it the second. Now they've had it a third. It's really a very simple little case, you know.
I'm very sorry, my lord. Then, members of the jury, I will conclude by submitting with some confidence that there is only one verdict you can possibly return if you are to be fair to the accused, to yourselves, and to British justice. And that is a verdict of not guilty.
Not guilty? When the foreman of the jury said it, we nearly cheered, Roger. And wasn't Mr. Wright grateful? He said he'd certainly come to you next time. Put it, nice to know someone who can pull my chestnuts out of the fire. Well, come on, darling, where's that celebration drink?
I won't have anything just now, thanks, honey.
Oh, don't be silly, you're celebrating. I bet Mr. Wright's celebrating. Only a few hours ago, he was all ready to be thrown to the lions.
Yes, he must have had a shock of his life if the lions threw him back.
Darling, what's the matter?
I can't help feeling I've helped to acquit a guilty man. And if that's him, I'm not in.
Well, what about our Mr. Wright, then?
I wish I'd lost Henry, quite frankly. If that's justice, then frankly, I don't want to know.
Well, haven't you heard?
What?
They arrested him again an hour ago. The police found 36 stolen transistor radios under his bed. His story was that a mate of his stole them. He was just taking them back.
How did the police find the stuff?
Oh, tip-off. Someone shot him.
Who?
His brother-in-law.
Darling, I think I will have that drink now.
Oh, and there's more good news, Roger.
Really? What?
Mr. Wright wants to see you tomorrow about his defense.
In that episode of Brothers in Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Briers. Henry Bladegrove, Richard Waring. Grimes, John Glyn Jones. Sally, Ann Davis. Wright, Peter Jones. Albert, Sam Kidd. Other parts were played by Malcolm Haynes. Reasonable Doubt was written and adapted for radio by Richard Waring. The program was produced by David Hatch.